And that Jesus came upon the scene, but he would be filled with apprehension. I knew I was going to be released because of the custom of the feast. And if Jesus is here, he would hate Jesus. And then he would thank God that Jesus got out of the way. Not because Jesus did anything for him, but Jesus was intruding in what man would do for me. My fellow Jews would do for me. You understand? All of these things are contradictions. It wouldn't give him any gratitude that Jesus had died. It would infuriate him that Jesus almost was the one who, instead of Barabbas being released, Jesus was released instead of him. And then, what does that mean? Certain death of Barabbas. So, keep these things in mind. One other thing concerning this not being a gospel application. When Barabbas was set free, was he free from his sin? You say, no. So many contradictions. So let me tell you what the death of Jesus has done. I'll tell you what the death of Jesus has done to you. All of you who have never trusted Christ as Savior, it hasn't saved you. It will not save one of you. But it has made it possible that you shall be saved. And had God seen fit to let justice take its course in truth, then indeed Jesus would have been released and this man Barabbas would have been put to death. But in the goodness of God, because God permitted his love toward us, his son went to the cross, and Barabbas is now free. A robber and a murderer is given a new lease on life. To do what? Whatever he wants to do. He may either continue to live in sin, or, I have no doubt, that after he was released, he would hear about the events that took place. You know that you almost went to the cross instead of this man named Jesus? Why? What do you mean? Why, Pilate put into their minds that Jesus should be released instead of you. He had it all planned, that you were going to be free. And Pilate put in their, Jesus almost got in my way, I see. Well, who is this Jesus? Tell me about him. And then they would tell him about Jesus. And so now, Barabbas is free to think over what report he might have heard concerning Jesus, and to accept or reject that he is, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Would Barabbas accept it or reject it? The fact that he was free meant that he had an opportunity to think over the claim of Jesus, and had he wanted, he could have read it over the cross, and he could have heard it preached on the day of Pentecost, and thereafter, he could have heard the claims of the Lord Jesus, and God gave him extended life, that he might have an opportunity to believe in this one that almost lived and he died, humanly speaking. Or, God gave him a reprieve that for the rest of his life, he could go back and with more energy and with more caution, continue the insurrection and commit more murders and commit more robbery. And so that's what Jesus has done to you. Understand that whether you are saved or not, whether you ever receive the spiritual benefits of the death of Christ, God has bestowed upon you physical benefits. That is how I look upon Father forgive them, for they know not what they do. If that means spiritual forgiveness, then all of these sinners that were on earth at that time and all like them are going to go to heaven because Jesus has prayed for them. But I believe that what Christ did was similar to what Moses did. When God said, let me alone that I may destroy them all. And Moses interceded with God, oh God, don't do that. And so God did not save the nation of Israel spiritually, but he did not send a plague or destruction upon them. He gave them continued physical life that they might think over the goodness of God, that a change might come in their lives. And in like manner, the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. You understand that there are certain things that keep the judgment of God from falling upon man. And some of those things are prayers. I told you about Moses' prayers in the Old Testament. And I think of Abraham praying for Sodom. If there are 50, if there are 45, if there are 40, if there are 30, if there are 10, God says, all right. And so the prayers of men can hold back the wrath of God, but only for a time. And so here are the prayers of the Lord Jesus, like the prayers of Moses, and the nation of Israel is given some 40 more years to think over Jesus of Nazareth and his claim. And some of them, with that reprieve and withholding the power of Rome from destroying them as a nation, they have a chance to think over the claims of Jesus, and thank God some of them trusted him as Savior, and others went on the way they did. And so it was with Barabbas. How? Do you think that Barabbas was fulfilled with gratitude just since Jesus died that I might go free? He would say, how dare that Jesus jeopardize my freedom? Do you understand? He wouldn't be grateful that Jesus died in his place. He would have said, I was going to be set free, and Jesus almost made it that I was not set free. No gratitude there. He would hate him for this intrusion. But if he thought about things, that is a different matter. And one other thing, just this. See the complications you get in. Barabbas, and that's why I read you from Mark's gospel, was one of more than a few. It said he was one of those who were insurrection. He was one who was a murderer. And so here is Jesus. And Jesus dying set Barabbas free. But what about all of those others that were imprisoned with him? You say, well, his death didn't do anything to them. Of course it did, you see. Perhaps we could work out some election that way, that Jesus only died for a certain one. But you get into so many difficulties, it's better to interpret it the way that Peter did. To look at the depravity, the blackness of man's heart, the heart is deceitful above of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God tells you how wicked it is. Because we have two men, and this is what God wants you to know, that God has set before the religious authorities, one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, the righteous one. And he has set before them a robber and a murderer. And he says, now, which one do you want? And Peter says, you deny the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be granted unto you. That is your heart. Tell me about the goodness of man. That man is inherently good. I say that man is inherently sinful. The heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. And God wants you to know that. And this is what Peter is bringing out. It is an enormity. The same way in the parable that Christ speaks about a husband that kept tending to his garden to get fruit from that garden. And they would give no fruit. And they abused the one to be sent. And finally he said, I have one hope left. I have a son. They will reverence my son. And last of all, he sent his son. And they said, this is the heir. We will kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And then the Lord Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, and what will the husbandman do? They said, he will miserably destroy those miserable sinners and let out a vineyard to somebody else that will bring forth its fruit in season. And the Lord Jesus said, have you never read the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing. And so that's the way of Christ. And so here is the blackness of the heart of the children of Israel. And it shows the blackness of your heart. Just to show you why. Tell me, have you chosen Christ as your Savior? You look at Barabbas as a representative of the world and guilt and condemnation. And you look at the Lord Jesus Christ as the holy and righteous one, which one do you take sides with? I've taken my stand for the Lord Jesus. I say I'm ashamed that I'm a guilty sinner, and I say that Jesus is holy and righteous, and I'm stepping away from all associations with Barabbas, and I'm taking a stand for the Lord Jesus. Have you said that? If not, then you say, well, I'm going to take my stand with Barabbas. You wouldn't come right out and say it, but you've done that. That is what God wants us to know. He wants us to understand that. And another thing, the perversion of what is right. God has his laws, and man has his laws. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And man says, oh no, we've got to figure out a way. If a man is a robber, he should go to jail, reading the Old Testament. If he's robbed, he either has to restore and give an addition, and if he robs a house at night, he should be put to death, and if he murders, whosoever sheddeth man's blood by man shall his blood be shed. That is the law of God. But man says, oh no, we are going to work out a way whereby a man who is a murderer, a member of insurrection, and a robber, he can go free. There's no basis. Why? Simply because we want him to go free. God knows no such law. There is no basis that God speaks of in man's life for man forgiving sins. Man wants to do that. God always has a basis. Man has no basis. Man will tell you, God is love. He will forgive you. Unless he brings in the death of Christ, God has no basis for forgiving you. But man forgives man. Here is a robber and a murderer. And what basis was there? What righteous basis was there that he should be set free? He said, why, there was no righteous basis. It was just a custom. I see. God has no custom. You think that one of you shall escape hell just because man has said, by custom, or let this one escape hell and that one escape hell at a certain time of the year? God knows no such law. And so the laws of man are perversion. I will tell you tonight, God willing, about God's laws. This is what it says in the book of Malachi. They're asking, where is the God of judgment? That's what they want to know. And as I look at this portion, I say at the same time, where is the God of judgment? Everything is gone wrong. And because of that, I've heard men also say this. They say, what a blunderer God is. I could run the world better than he. Indeed, I tell you, by looking at what happens at times, I would agree with you. Except for this. What is happening here? Barabbas going free and the Lord Jesus going to the cross. I would agree with you. I would say, humanly speaking, God is a blunderer, and I could straighten things out a lot better than he. I would say, don't you understand? Jesus is holy and just and innocent, and Barabbas is a robber and a murderer. Don't you understand? Let justice be done, and let Barabbas be put to death, and let Jesus go free. This is what I would say. I would agree. God is a blunderer, and yet God saw his son in the Jordan River when he was baptized. And God saw his son on the Mount of Transfiguration when he was glorified. And God saw his son when he was on the cross as well. And when he was baptized, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And he saw his son when he was on the cross of Calvary. And he said, nothing. The Lord Jesus said, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Thou art silent. And I ask you, if God saw him in the Jordan and saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration, did he not see him when he was on the cross and being judged? You say, yes. Well then, why did he do nothing when he was on the cross? Because he blundered? You say, God would not blunder. Is it because his right arm is shortened that it cannot save? Has paralysis come over God? You say, no, there must be some purpose to it. Our hope is. And so your mouth is forever stopped. If all of your children, your loved ones, your health, if misfortune and calamity overwhelm you, you cannot say there was no God and he blundered, because God stood by when this happened to his son. And I know that his son was innocent and should have escaped, but he did not. And God remained silent, and God remained still when Christ fell into the hands of sinful men. And it was not by accident, it was a curse. And so what God would have us to do is to consider him, to look at his own son when you are talking about your case and the inequities of God, the injustices that God commits. You understand that God saw his son throughout his life on earth, and God at times spoke and acted, and at times God remained silent. And it was not that he blundered, it was that you and I are incapable of understanding the ways of God. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the knowledge and riches of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. How unsearchable are they? And so this is how God is done. And then he interprets it later on, but at the time I cannot see it. But I know this, that if I can look and see how man treated God's son, and God did nothing. God who spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all. If I can look at that, then by faith, whatever happens to your son and to me and my loved one, then I will put my hand upon my mouth and say, oh God, you let it happen to your son. It was no accident. You are not a blunderer. There is purpose behind it. And now I see from Christ died on the cross. Christ also was once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And so God had a purpose behind it. And only an infinite God could tie all of these things together and make good come out of it. And that is what he has done. And so this is something about the lesson of Jesus and Barabbas. So much more. I keep on. Let us pray. Now, Father, we pray that thou shalt give us either insight as to why there seem to be discrepancies and injustices going on in the world and we do nothing about them, or else give us faith to accept that there is reason and purpose behind it, and in the end, all shall be made known. We pray, our God, that this shall be true, that he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And in the coming day, you may not explain to us, our Father, you may, but then we shall never accuse thee of being a blunderer, of one who does not care, of allowing injustices to take place, and thou dost do nothing about them. And so help us to consider what has happened in the case of thy son, and then we shall ever place our hand upon our mouth and say nothing. And so touch our heart. Let us see that indeed we are like the children of Israel. We are like the rabbis. And thy son in his goodness has bestowed physical benefits upon us. We pray that in this time of reprieve, while we have breath and life and mind that is sound, that we may call upon the name of the Lord, that thou mayest save our soul. With the wisdom we pray, and that our hearts be softened and not hardened, we ask thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.